This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm News Director Sarah Bohannon. Today we'll look into how a rodeo that happened over the weekend has delayed Shasta County's ability to reopen businesses in stage two of California Governor Gavin Newsom's four-stage plan. And we'll continue to dive into antibody testing and learn more about the picture that's developing from this type of testing at Chico's Immediate Care Medical Center. If you have questions or comments for us, call us on our message line 433-9216 or visit our website, mynspr.org. For Tuesday, May 12th, 2020, this is special coverage from North State Public Radio. First, some news.
For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert. Butte and El Dorado counties can begin lifting some restrictions as state officials issued a variance Tuesday from rules in place elsewhere in California. County officials were required to certify that adequate testing capacity is in place and personal protective equipment available, along with other requirements. Under the variance, all retail shops, car washes, pet groomers, childcare, and outdoor museums and galleries could resume operation. Offices could reopen, but telecommuting would remain preferred. Dine-in restaurants could reopen as long as their bar and gaming areas remain shut. Plumas County said it is right behind them. According to county spokeswoman Lori Beatley, officials are awaiting approval of final documents that could come as soon as Wednesday. If approved, the same rules would take effect there as in Butte and El Dorado counties. Statewide, the number of cases of COVID-19 rose by 2% or nearly 1,450 cases to 69,382, according to figures released Tuesday by the California Department of Public Health. Officials reported another 77 deaths since the day before, with fatalities reaching 2,847 across California, representing a 3% increase from yesterday. Both fatalities and the number of cases is up about 23% compared to a week ago. A handful of newly identified cases in the North State has pushed total cases to 131 across the 11-county region. Cases are sprinkled across the region, with the biggest clusters remaining around Marysville and Redding. According to the most recent figures available, 35 cases have been identified in Sutter County, 32 in Shasta, 23 in Yuba, and 20 in Butte County. More rural counties have fewer cases. 6 cases have been diagnosed in Glenn County, 5 in Siskiyou, 4 in Plumas, 3 in Colusa, 2 in Trinity, and 1 in Tehama. No cases have been found in Lassen County. The number of deaths in the region remains at 8. After announcing that 76 of 80 new testing sites are now operational, Governor Gavin Newsom announced Tuesday that 1 million tests for COVID-19 have been conducted in California. Newsom said progress shouldn't make people complacent.
Many of you may have seen Dr. Fauci today testifying. The worst mistake we can make is to just throw those face coverings off and disabuse ourselves that this virus has gone away or taken the summer off or it's on a deep sabbatical or vacation. It's not. It's still virulent.
Regular classes at California's 23 state universities, including Chico State, won't resume in the fall. CSU Chancellor Timothy White announced Tuesday that the vast majority of instruction will remain online in the fall semester. In-person classes were suspended in March due to the virus. According to Chico City Councilman Carl Ori, Chico City Manager Mark Oram predicted a hit to sales tax revenue from the change. For NSPR News, I'm Mark Albert.
This is special coverage on the novel coronavirus from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Over 70% of California's economy is open with modifications, according to Governor Gavin Newsom during his press conference on Tuesday. It's an announcement that he says he hopes is encouraging from both a health and economic perspective. Locally, Butte County became one of 2 counties in California to get state certification to reopen additional businesses. That includes allowing dine-in restaurants to open with restrictions. The county passed self-certification of state guidelines that were released last week. According to the governor, 27 counties in the state applied for variance, and there's a potential that more will be approved today. But there's one North State county that applied for a variance and is now having it delayed due to a rodeo that happened over the weekend. According to a press release put out by the Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency, Shasta County had met the governor's criteria for regional variance, which would have allowed them to reopen businesses including retail, dine-in restaurants, shopping malls, car washes, and some other types of businesses. That was until the Cottonwood Rodeo decided to proceed with a mass gathering, something that violates the state's stay-at-home order and is not part of Stage 2 of the governor's plans, but Stage 4. According to the release, a television story showed that some 2,000 people attended the event. Most did not practice social distancing or wear masks. The release said that after the event was brought to the attention of the governor, Shasta County was delayed in being able to move forward with their Stage 2 reopening. The agency has said that they are concerned that the gathering could generate a renewed outbreak of COVID-19 in the area, and that those who attended the event should get tested. But the whole incident begs the question about why it happened in the first place. Is there no authority to enforce the governor's stay-at-home order at the local level, or are certain local officials just not enforcing it? Honestly, so far, this is a question that we have not been able to find the answer for, as many officials in many counties continue to seemingly pass the buck anytime we ask about enforcement authority. For this particular incident, we reached out to the Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency by email, asking if officials made an attempt to stop the rodeo from happening. According to an email from Carrie Schutte, spokesperson for the agency is, quote, not an enforcement agency. Law enforcement opted not to pursue enforcement or a fine. The sheriff did speak to them and chose to approach it from a more educational perspective, end quote. Messages to the Shasta County Sheriff's Office have not yet been returned, nor emails to the state. But we were able to reach the organizer of the Cottonwood Rodeo, Jeff Davis, who owns Four Star Rodeo. He spoke with NSPR's Mark Albert Monday. The first thing Mark asked was if there were concerns from public health officials beforehand and you were asked not to proceed with the event, why go ahead with it?
Yeah, I mean, how do you control the American people? We put the CDC guidelines up there, CDC recommendations. There were people wearing masks, a very small percentage of them. There was a lot of room to social distance, but there was a lot of people there. And, I think people were just, ready to get out and start living their lives again. You know, we've had very few cases in the North State up here, and I think people are tired of the government kind of running their lives and their businesses, and I think they just kind of want to, support and that we are still free Americans.
Jeff, I see the California Cowboys Pro Rodeo Association canceled a number of events, and they've canceled all of their events going forward, including one in Angels Camp, one in Laytonville, and another one in Garberville. Their next scheduled rodeo isn't until June 27th. Can you elaborate on that or comment on why that might be the case if one went ahead last weekend?
Well, first of all, this was not a California Cowboys Professional Rodeo Association rodeo.
I see.
This was not sanctioned by any organization. So no contestants had to go there to get points to qualify for the finals or anything. This was what we call an open rodeo. Anybody could enter. You didn't have to be a member of any sanctioning organization or anything. So it was open. So yeah, what the CCPRA, what they've done, is a lot of the rodeos that they have are on state and county facilities, and the state or the county both. Some maybe cities are not allowing them kind of events on their facilities. This was at a private facility, and it was an open rodeo. And so there wasn't really, no county or state or local that, they said we couldn't do this.
If somebody, God forbid, or a bunch of people, God forbid, get sick after attending the rodeo in Cottonwood, would that be a big concern to you, or do you think this is just because there's so few cases in Shasta County and the rest of the North State that it's just not going to happen?
Oh, of course, Mark. I don't want anybody to get sick. I've got a family. I've got elderly parents. I got grandkids. That's the last thing we want to do, maybe get sick. But I think one thing that, people need to realize a little bit is that the best, my point is that I think you've got a better chance of getting the coronavirus at the post office, you know, where you're in a small enclosed area. Everybody touches the same door. In Walmart, or in Lowe's, in Home Depot, you know, there's thousands of people go through them places a day, and they're confined. We were outdoors on 29 acres, and I mean, you know, in fresh air. You know, they wasn't recirculating the air, you know, through the air conditioning ducts or anything. You know, so yeah, I mean, the last thing I want is for anybody to get ill. I also want people to be able to live, you know. My business is in the rodeo business. We've been shut down. I've been 30 years building this business up, and 1 year can crash me and completely bankrupt me. And it still might. I don't know. I mean, we're going to be all right through the summer, but when next winter comes, it's got me scared on how I'm going to be. And so I'm looking at that as myself, and maybe I'm fortunate because I can get through the summer. But, you know, some of my colleagues and, you know, some other people in other small businesses, you know, we can't just shut down America because we have a flu. What we need to do, our life's going to change. Try to be as smart as you can about it. If you have underlying health issues, you know, or if you're scared of being out there, then I recommend you stay home, you know, and that's fine. I mean, what other people think is fine, but I just think that people, they got to quit telling us how to live our lives. You know, I don't have a paycheck weekly or monthly anymore. You know, I still have expenses. I still got over 300 head of livestock that I have to feed daily here. Who's paying for that? Nobody. There's no PPP plan for livestock, you know.
That was Jeff Davis, owner of Four Star Rodeo Company and producer of the Cottonwood Rodeo that happened over Mother's Day weekend, speaking with NSPR's Mark Albert. You're listening to North State Public Radio. More just ahead. This is North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. We've been covering antibody testing for the past few episodes of this program, as a lack of adequate testing for the novel coronavirus has raised questions about the true number of people who have had COVID-19. Now, with antibody testing underway at a healthcare clinic in Chico, a portrait has emerged of the possible scope of infections locally. NSPR's Andre Bayek recently spoke with Dr. Bradley Smith, CEO and Chief Medical Officer of Immediate Care Medical Center. Here's their conversation.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. Can you explain the type of coronavirus testing that you're offering at Chico Immediate Care?
Yeah, it's a rapid antibody test. It is done with a drop of blood from a finger stick. It is testing for both IgM, which is the rapid response antibody, and is the antibody you see right at the beginning of the people's symptomatic period. There's a two-week incubation, and then most people become symptomatic at that time. At that moment, at that time is when your IgM levels rise. They go up very quickly. They're a rapid response team, if you want to think about it that way, for the military. And they go out and find anything that's wrong and try and kill it right away. The second antibody is IgG. It is the long-term antibody that in previous experience with immunizing people is the one that we try and induce and get high, and that is high levels of IgG are thought to be immunoprotective against coronavirus, but that has not been proven with a study for this virus, so it's an assumption only. And the test can be run on anyone who asks at the testing sites. We are currently doing drive-up testing. We will be continuing with testing employees for any of the employers that have accounts with us if they want that done to get them back to work. And also we lowered the age. After speaking to some pediatricians, they had no issue with, well, I leave the pediatricians out of it. Let's just say we're going to test ages 5 and up. So we wanted to get school-age children in there for August.
You know, what motivated you to offer this type of testing?
As a primary care provider in the community, I spent 2 months trying to order even non-rapid antibody or PCR testing, and was told by the labs that if we didn't meet their criteria, that they wouldn't test. And that included Public Health, Enlo, and the private labs in Chico. And at that time, the CDC was recommending that only symptomatic people be tested. I strongly disagreed with that. It goes against the tenets of public health on a new disease, which mean you have to know the true number of people in a population that are infected. And the only way to do that is to test. And that point was again made last month in an article released by Stanford Public Health. And they started off this article by saying antibody testing of random asymptomatic members of the population is essential to understand this disease and plan our response. That came from Stanford. I then looked at their numbers, and in Santa Clara County, I could give you the calculations, but I'll just skip to the chase. On April 17th, Santa Clara County Public Health said there were 1,800 cases of confirmed COVID. Antibody testing of 6,000 people by Stanford showed that about 3% of the population was actually infected. There's 2 million people in that county. That means there are 65,000 cases using that model, that statistical model. If you multiply the incidents that they're finding, and 6,000 is a great study, that's plenty to get good numbers. If the state says there's 1,800 and Stanford finds numbers that suggest that there are 65,000 people in the county, then it was clear that public health was grossly underestimating the number of infected people. I went around to hospitals and any source I could and asked for capital up front to buy tests and start testing using my system. And that didn't work. So I did it privately as a private citizen or a private doctor. So we obtained the test, set up the system, and I've run about 1,200 tests right now.
Could you expand on that a little bit? What does that mean, that 1,200 number?
Well, that's just how many people we've given a test to. We've, you know, Stanford tested 6,000 people. We have so far tested about 1,200, although by the end of this week, it'll be closer to 2,000.
And are you able to share any, perhaps, broad strokes regarding the percentage of people who may have tested positive for the presence of antibodies?
Yeah, actually, since our series is only about 1,200 right now and Stanford's was 6,000, it's a little statistically risky to use exactly the same technique, but I think the numbers that we have enough people tested to give us at least a rough estimate. And so our numbers are coming back about 1 to 1.2% of the people we tested have shown a positive antibody response, which means they've been exposed to the virus and they have mounted an immune response. Using the same approach that the Stanford study did, test random, as many random asymptomatic patients as you can. Find out how many of them test positive. The denominator there is the total number tested. The numerator is the positives. That will give you a percentage of the population that has been infected by the virus. That is called, in public health, that's called the incidence of that disease. So in Butte County, if we take our 1% number, which compares favorably with Santa Clara's 3%, we have a lot less COVID in this county. It's clear because our death rate is so low. So we should be way below them. So the 1% is a factor of 3 below a real hotspot. And that was internally consistent. So 1% times the population of Butte County, which is in 2019 was 220. That suggests that in this county, using the same approach, there are 2,200 people that have been infected. Right now on the Butte County Public Health website, they will tell you there are 18 confirmed cases in the county. So it's clear to me that we have, A, failed to test adequately, and all through the medical literature and the public health literature, I just read another article about how we have failed testing on a national basis. South Korea, New Zealand, these were countries that, well, South Korea, they have the lowest death rate in Asia from this disease. And they have, their policy is test, isolate, and trace. And they've been able to control this outbreak better than just about any country in Asia. And while they were doing that, this country on a national level through the CDC was saying, don't test anybody unless you're testing a patient with symptoms. So we couldn't get any epidemiologic data. And I have not been one to sit back and watch something that needs to be done, not get done. So we just set it up and did it.
How could these numbers that you're seeing with your testing help inform public health departments locally in our area?
Well, first thing from public health is nobody has the correct number of people infected. They're underestimating it according to the what I just gave you, anywhere from 15 to 100 by a factor of 15 to 100. If you don't have that number correct, you cannot calculate any of the other epidemiological information, death rates, mortality, hospitalization rates, recovery rates. If you don't know how many people had it, you can't make the calculation. So hopefully by providing this information, we'll get a true figure of how many people in the county have been exposed or infected. And then we can do our usual statistical and epidemiologic studies and use that to guide treatment.
You know, you mentioned reading articles and research. I've been doing some of that myself regarding the reliability of antibody tests. I'm curious if you could share any insight regarding the reliability of the specific tests you're using, and if you think it's at a level that can be trusted.
It's highly trustable. It has the same accuracy as the rapid strep and infectious mononucleosis test that all doctors have sitting in their office right now. That's been FDA. Those tests are FDA approved. They run about 96%.
The system that I use is 97% accurate. In other words, out of 100 people that don't have the virus, my test correctly says that they don't have it 97% of the time. Of 100 people who do have the virus, my test correctly identifies them as a positive 97% of the time. The reason I chose this company that I'm using is they already manufacture their test in an FDA-approved facility. There are no rapid tests that I know of, and I look at a list put out by the government every day of the status of emergency use applications, which are what all the tests are operating under now. No one is FDA approved. They all have, you know, they're all asking for FDA approval, but this came on us so fast they just didn't have time. So they're operating under an EUA. There's a lot of companies that just threw something on the market really quick with minimal pre-testing or validation. This company did do that. They don't have huge numbers, but I think they're adequate. Again, for a rough estimate, we don't have time to do all the really perfect studies that we always do when the FDA clears something. You just have to look at what appears to be best and go with it.
And regarding this test, how quickly are you able to get a result?
10 minutes. The patient has a result before they leave the testing site.
Is there anything else I didn't ask you about? Specifically what you're offering, or even generally about testing and this pandemic, that you'd like to add or share?
Not really. I think it's all been put out there a lot. I wrote something, I guess I wrote it on my Facebook when this all started, that said, don't underestimate this virus. And that was unfortunately way too true. And I have concerns about reopening. And I don't know the answer, but what I do know is in Hokkaido, Japan, they had gotten their new case rate down to less than one per day. Not only was the curve flattened, it looks like they were almost out of having any patients, new infections. They reopened, and within 4 weeks, they were finding 130 cases a week again. So they reopened even when they're testing, or even when they were only getting less than one case a day, not just a flat curve. We're talking about way further down the curve. And they still, had a resurgence and people died. And again, I know we have to get our economy going again. And for that reason, that's why Immediate Care is going to offer testing to all the employers that have accounts with us that want to test their employees to bring them back to work safely.
Dr. Smith, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
That was CEO and Chief Medical Officer of Immediate Care Medical Center in Chico, speaking with NSPR's Andre Bayek. And that is your program. If you have any thoughts for us, leave them on our message line, 433-9216, or go to our website, mynspr.org. Today's special coverage was produced by Mark Albert, Ken Duvall, Christian Solis, Andre Bayek, and Phil Wilkie. Our technical producer is Matt Fidler. Thank you for being with us. I'm Sarah Bohannon, News Director at North State Public Radio, and this is Special Coverage. Tune in each weekday evening at 6:30, or catch the rebroadcast the following morning at 8:30. Until then, stay safe, stay informed, and stay tuned.